And again, what you know, when we talk about materiality, right, we're trying to protect, you know, I mean, what we're trying to do in all these things is protect rights. We're trying to ensure that when somebody's convicted, we're sure that they were convicted fairly. We obviously don't want reversals. You know, obviously, when you've seen, you know, if you've ever seen a video of somebody who got released after their conviction was overturned, I mean, it's obviously a happy day for them, but then you also realize that we wasted a whole chunk of their time, however brief, while they were sitting there. You know, we want public confidence in the judicial system and the justice system. We obviously want people to tell the truth. We want everyone to play fair. And then along with playing fair is we want prosecutors to comply with their ethical obligations. I was a prosecutor for 18 years, and I'm pretty familiar with that. And that's obviously we want to encourage fair trials, fair fights, and no more ambushes. So again, Brady versus Maryland, everyone's read it. Everyone knows what we're talking about. You know, again, we're about fairness. We want the state to not suppress favorable evidence to the accused, and that leads to fair trials, hopefully. So when does it apply? It applies before trial. It applies before pleading guilty. I was talking to a prosecutor not too long ago who had a case where the defendant they were prosecuting, they got information from the jail that the person might have a competency issue. And the defense attorney wasn't necessarily aware of that, so that prosecutor, you know, there was going to be a pretrial hearing. That prosecutor said, hey, before we begin, just want to let everyone know, including defense counsel, including the judge, that this person might have a competency or, issue. And that was sort of the issue in Ex parte Lewis, is there was evidence that the defendant might not have been competent, and the defendant pled, and so our court said, can't really do that. If there's evidence of competency, you can't plead, you can't do anything. If somebody's incompetent, you can't do anything, much less plead guilty to a murder case, and this was a murder case. So again, it attaches before, you know, this happens before a plea, and I've actually heard, I mean, this was a long time ago, but I would hear prosecutors say, well, you know, he pled guilty, it doesn't matter. Like, no, it really does matter. You know, again, we need, and that ties into the delays we have now with COVID in Harris County with the hurricane is, you know, there's this pressure. You know, when I was a trial judge, I mean, I wanted people to, you know, I wanted the cases resolved. Like, if you want a trial, let's have a trial. If you want to plead, let's plead. If the state wants to dismiss the case, the state should have dismissed the case. But there's pressure. Everyone feels pressure to get things done and to get things done, and we can't let that pressure overwhelm the right to have somebody, a person charged, have exculpatory evidence ahead of time. So this case is pretty new. Most of you know the facts and the players involved in Michael Morton. But this is another Michael Morton case. But this was a civil case, 1983 case, under Title 42 of the U.S. Code. And you know, we're still going to have, you know, again, you know, I mentioned Mr. Hugler's talk yesterday about, you know, it's 2022 and we're still talking about Brady. I mean, we're going to keep seeing these because, you know, obviously, you know, Michael Falkenberg talked about writs. I mean, we're going back and finding things, and we're going back and finding evidence that was not turned over, whether it was unintentional or intentional. You know, we're going back and finding these things. And this case was a remnant of a closed file policy. When I first became licensed in 1999, a lot of DA's offices in Texas had closed file policy. Like, you just didn't walk in. I mean, there was no tech share, or, you know, they weren't burning CDs for you. If you wanted to see something, it depended on one office. And some offices, like I went to work at Tarrant County in 2000. So Tarrant County DA's office, if you were a defense attorney and you weren't on the naughty list, we would just hand you the file and go, there's a copy, or go copy it. If you went to another county, they might say, here's the offense report. You can't make a copy of it. Here's a legal pad and a pen. You can write some notes. And then there are some offices that said, go fly a kite. You can have the police report after I pass the witness in trial. Well, the danger of that, I mean, obviously Michael Morton has obliterated that. But before that, the danger is this, which is this was a child abuse case, and the victim, they had a pretrial meeting a few days before trial, and the victim started to contradict herself and said, well, I'm not sure, I don't know about this, and I don't, you know, nothing really happened. And rather than tell the defense, hey, we had this meeting yesterday or 2 days ago, and, you know, she's waffling, she said this, she said that, they said, well, she's not a great witness, but, I mean, we have all these other evidence, so we're just going to go ahead. And so this suit, so after this conviction was overturned, obviously the person says, hey, I'd like to, you know, I can't have my years back, but, you know, perhaps you can compensate me for them. And so filed a 1983 case, and the county won on summary judgment because of qualified immunity. But, I mean, there were some pretty sharply, if you want to read some pretty sharp critiques of the criminal justice system, you should read both the majority opinion and the side opinions, because, you know, when, again, one of the dangers we have is because we plead so many cases, the proportion, you know, we plead 90-something percent. I mean, you know, maybe 3% of cases go to trial. So you're disposing of these cases another way, and most of them are by pleas. And because of that, we don't necessarily find out right away. And what seems like a good deal up front, like, oh, two deferred, I'll take that. Like, that might sound like a great deal on a serious case, but then when you find out later, well, you know, the kid recanted, or, you know, the kid gave inconsistent statements, things that are impeachable if that kid took the stand, then all of a sudden that 2-year deferred is not great, because that's 2 years deferred may be great, but it's not as great as a dismissal. So material, you know, reasonable probability that if the evidence had been disclosed, the result would have been different, and a reasonable probability is a probability sufficient to undermine confidence in the outcome. So, again, we're talking about materiality. One thing I want to say at this point is...